Hello, everyone. It's Michael Jacob with Unleashing Intuition Secrets. Joined once again by Sasha Stone, former rock musician and artist, grew up in Rhodesia, Zimbabwe, throughout the war for independence. He established Humanitaid in 1999 and has worked across both the NGO and IGO sectors as an outspoken advocate of human rights and natural justice. He has instigated peace initiatives and educational programs, lobbied against human rights abuses in different parts of the globe, and continues to prosecute for the protection of vanguard innovators, scientists, and doctors. Sasha, thanks so much for coming on again.
Very happy to see you, Michael. And I have to just say, and listening to what you were preambling in terms of, you know, being out there with human rights abuses, unfortunately, I was unable to speak to the biggest human rights abuse happening in modern history, which is Julian Assange. I was supposed to jump on a live broadcast a few days ago with Stella, his wife, and a few of his circle to speak against what's happening in the courts right now. I was in the Arizona desert with the Hopi and couldn't get on. I was so frustrated to try and get on that broadcast and scream. But yeah, speak about human rights abuse. There you have it.
Wow. Yeah, I know you're all around the globe. You're always traveling, always doing amazing things. You were at the Conscious Life Expo just recently. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I went from Bali, Indonesia, went home for the first time in 2 years for about 2.5 weeks. Had a great time there. Checked up on a family out there and staff, and you know, made sure the roof was still on. And then went to the Vatican in Rome for a week. And then bounced straight to LA to the Conscious Life Expo, and then to the Arizona desert to join the Hopi messengers and elders there. And I just came back late last night to Los Angeles from that. But I can tell you, Conscious Life Expo was not very conscious. It was not filled with much life, and there was not much exposition worth anything there, except for the fact there's a lot of good people who do gather there to touch, you know, connect in like tribe. But I was very dismayed that a few short weeks before the Conscious Life Expo, I had a major 3-hour spot, and it was I had Roseanne Barr and Kathy O'Brien, two of the most powerful figures in truth, disclosure, and revelation, were both joining me on the stage for a very important 3-hour ceremonial event. And Conscious Life Expo, in their inestimable wisdom, decided to ban Roseanne Barr and Kathy O'Brien from my stage. So unfortunately, that kiboshed the big plan I had, which was to have a very big, powerful ceremonial event that essentially returned the power rod or the talking stick to the grandmothers. It was a ceremonial event that had Native American, Indian, and Paramount chiefs coming in, grandmothers coming in, and Roseanne and Kathy were planning to act as the kind of Midwest American grandmothers to receive that handing over of the power. And Michael, this goes back to the First Nations of the American Plains. Their standard rule was always that the warrior class of men in those tribes, 740 tribes, mind you, could never go forth and wage war against any other tribe unless they got permission from the grandmothers. And so resultantly, the grandmother's wisdom was governing the culture and the civilization. And it was a judicious and righteous and godly and goodly protocol. Of course, the patriarchy of the last 500 years, this white man's poison and the Vatican crimes and the crowns of Europe and all of the slaughter and holocaust of the black skin, red skin, yellow skin, white skin people, black skin, brown skin, yellow skin, red skin, forgive me, people of the world, is a holocaust that has happened because of the crowns of Europe and the Vatican. So until we address that piece and actually psycho-civilizationally, psycho-culturally all address the fact that we're still dealing with and crimes of ages that is coursing through the blood song of all the peoples of this land, we're never going to find peace. We're never going to find absolution and redemption and salvation until we address it. So what I wanted to do was to have a big event in the middle of the Conscious Life Expo with this totemistic handing of the patriarch, taking the knee and handing power back to the grandmother. And I went to the Vatican on the way to get the blessing and benediction of the oldest cardinal there, 93, turning 94, who right now is on life support. 2 weeks before I arrived in the Vatican, he went on life support into a coma. A few weeks before that, that cardinal, who I can't name yet because I've not yet received the information that he's dead, and I don't want anything else to happen. In interim, I don't want to be a part of any controversy right now. But that cardinal was the cardinal who had reached out to me the last time I was in the U.S. a few months ago, 2 or 3 months ago, and told me to alert the world as quickly as possible that there was going to be an outbreak planned for the Paris Swimming Olympics, and that a pathogenic strain was planned to be released into the Seine River in Paris during the Swimming Olympics, because the Paris Olympic Committee French Olympic Committee have designated that part of the Seine River is to actually be cordoned off, and the swimming will take place in the river itself. So this good cardinal, who knew exactly about the Luciferic agenda and satanic agenda in the basement of the Vatican, has been giving intel to me for the last couple of years through the COVIDiocy. And when he contacted me a couple of months ago to say, this is very serious and a pathogenic strain is intended to create the diaspora event that goes back to 150 plus countries after the Olympics in Paris, the swimming Olympics, and that will be ground zero for disease X, so to speak. And I did that broadcast actually with our mutual friend, Scott McKay. And you can ask Scott, Michael, later that evening, a few weeks back, into Poland, U.S. military brass lent in on Scott and then in on me later that night to ask about where that intel came from. And we clarified that. And they are, by best accounts, doing what they can as a counteroffensive to that probability. But it's serious stuff. And and by the grace of God, it won't happen because the good cardinal... But the point I'm making here is that shortly after he gave that intel to me, he called us back and said that men had come into his cloisters and injected him forcibly against his will with something. He didn't know what. And he slipped into coma shortly after that. So that's all we know. And I'm waiting to hear what his status is. I don't imagine for one moment he's going to survive this, but he's been in a coma now for a few weeks, as I understand it. And I went to the Vatican on the off chance, because I'd already booked that passage to go there to meet with him. And he was prepared on behalf of the cardinals and the Vatican agenda. He was prepared to take the knee to the grandmothers and go on film, which we were then going to put up on the big screen at the Conscious Life Expo, from a 93-year-old cardinal saying, yes, it is time that the patriarchy stood down. We fucked up in 500 years, a blood cult, and all the wickedness that has now emerged through the basement of the Vatican, which is the de facto whore of Babylon, and everyone knows it now. And certainly this good cardinal went to some lengths to tell us that, I say us, it's me and one other conduit that he was feeding information to. And that conduit is prepared to go public as well this month. He was unable to until now, but he's willing to. Who's known the cardinal for many, many years, and it's serious stuff. You know that the cardinal was feeding information to us in recent months, and his testament was that the College of Cardinals was overrun by ritual Satanists, and that the Vatican itself was involved in systemic and endemic bestial orgies taking place in the papal crypts. And there were code words going around the corridors of the Vatican every, couple of weeks. Rome is sin. And when you hear that call, you know that tonight's the night. There's another orgy taking place in the crypts. And he said that some of these high officials in the Vatican were literally walking around flagrantly in the daylight with their eunuch boyfriends on chains. You know, it's gone Babylonian. It's gone just the way Rome went at the end of the Roman Empire, when the Caesars of Rome and the nobility were involved in just bestial orgies 24/7, and whilst the empire was collapsing,
Yeah, it sounds like something out of James Bond and Da Vinci Code movie. It's insane, but this is the world that's the reality. you and I know this, and we try to do our best to educate people as much as possible. Yeah, I love the Native American stuff. I did, the sweat lodges and the, vision quests and so forth for many years. And that basically, that really opened me up to spirituality like nothing else before. So I totally agree with the grandmothers coming back and, basically bringing us out of the patriarchy and bringing that back in. It'll be a beautiful, beautiful time for history.
Exactly right. I was just with the Hopi messengers. Elders in Sedona in Arizona, and I was there for a 3-day and 3-night immersive retreat with them, and they came from the first mesa and the second mesa, and it was extraordinary. We were on stage for about 7-8 hours, maybe 9 hours a day for 3 days, with a tight audience, a beautiful audience, and it was a lot of tears shed from everyone, not least the two elders and myself, because what we were doing in the course of that 3-day retreat was doing our best to, I was moderating it, what they were doing through their song and through their prophecy and through their remembrance and their witness testimony was speaking to how we need to now unlock the blood song of the ancestors, because that song must be heard. If it is not heard and received in the field, so to speak, it will find its way into the field through cataclysm, absolute cataclysm. We have a choice. Humanity can either sit on the ground and reconnect to the sacred soil, metaphorically speaking, but also practically speaking, get back into the flame of truth within self, remove our attention from the false light, the idolatry of everything that's out there right now in mainstream media and entertainment and high street and the usual white noise bullshit that constitutes our lives, that is all spoon-fed to us by a Saturnian, Luciferian false light matrix construed as reality, but all it does is parasite our life force. And all the infrastructure out there, from police to executive branches of government and judicial branches of government and so on, all of the apparatus is rotten to the core. The corruption is endemic and systemic. It cannot withstand. No part of the status quo is sustainable or regenerative right now. The Hopi know that. All Aboriginal and First Nation peoples are smart enough to know that. The dream timers, the song liners, the diviners, the oracles, the viziers, they are all perfectly attuned to the song of the ancestors. But we, the imperial Western gestalt or zeitgeist, we are the arbiters of whether we move into catastrophic failure and cataclysm or not. I'm sorry about the noise in the background. Okay. We are the arbiters of cataclysm or not, depending on the degree to which we choose to consciously awaken from within the dream spell that we have spun for ourselves.
It's beautiful. Yeah, and I so look forward to it. But we're seeing there's a lot of spin going in the other direction with these wars, Ukraine, the genocide that's happening in Israel on the West Bank, and probably soon stretching up into Lebanon. I think there's absolutely Israel army is going to go up into Lebanon as well. There's a lot of CIA types that are basically transmitting that is going to happen. It's already in the works. So, and maybe a war with China, because we have to protect the petrodollar, and China and all these other countries like Iran and Russia and so forth are basically trying to take that petrodollar down, and they have to attack, unfortunately, with the military. The U.S. military to stop all that. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are that the trifecta of evil that is construed this reality matrix and the games that are being played on the world stage and the brinksmanship that we are witnessing between Russia and China and the NATO alliance, all of that is a composite of a theater. And that theater is ultimately, if it continues playing with deception and illusion and deception tactics, it is going to continue to blindside us into catastrophic failure. You see, the whole theater of Ukraine, as folks like myself were calling out 2 years ago when the whole thing was conflating, was an orchestration. It was designed to conflate and inflame the attention of the world. It was designed to outrage the idiot class of liberal intellectual humans all around the world who think that they're the arbiters and protectors of the status quo of our sensibilities and our sensitivities. But actually, those idiot class of liberal intellectuals were the ones who were rattling the cans, raising billions of dollars, forcing compliance and legislation through so that governments would be sending billions and trillions of dollars to Ukraine, thereby manufacturing and manifesting the war and sustaining it. Had the U.S. not led that dopey alliance with the Ukraine theater, no one would have died. Vladimir Putin has never invaded a country in his life. He doesn't do that. And don't come at me with what happened in Chechnya. That's a whole different story. Nothing to do with what people in the West think happened. All they did was listen to the Sabbatean mainstream crypto-Jewish media machine telling them what they wanted them to think about what was going on in Russia back in the day. Same thing with the Cold War. Gorbachev himself was the utility and the proxy of the Wall Street Sabbatean element. So, you know, Russia has just been butchered and bastardized and maligned and has been used and fleeced, and racketeering and profiteering against the good people of Middle Russia has happened for since the fall of the Bolsheviks, the fall of the Romanov dynasty. And don't forget, the Bolshevik Revolution was fostered, and financed by Wall Street. Trotsky and Lenin and Marx were the utility of Oxford and Cambridge, Yale. And these creatures were positioned, orchestrated, and literally culturally programmed the collapse of a noble lineage, the Romanov dynasty, which was the last of the great Tatarians, the last of the golden age of humanity, if you like. And that was destroyed, and Russia collapsed. And then Stalin segued in again, financed by the Crown of England, the Vatican, the Jesuits, and 20 million slaughtered Russians later, mass graves in the forest and in the gulags, courtesy of idiots in the West paying their fucking taxes and doing whatever they're told by Caesar. That's what happened. That's what brought about the Red Peril. And that was then franchised on to China. And Maoism was also installed as a goddamn software, courtesy again of Wall Street, the Crown of England, and the Vatican. So at what point do we want to stop playing into the theater that is orchestrated for us? So let's not look at Palestine and Israel and Gaza Strip in the way that we're being led to look into it, to all take a side and then start throwing rocks at each other and bring about a clash of civilizations, which will indeed create a cataclysmic meltdown. You see, we're being fleeced again. We're being led again. We're being conned again. And idiot human beings led by the liberal intellectual class of retards, good people, well-educated, who think that they know what's going on and are absolutely bugger all about the realpolitik. That's the conundrum we're facing right now as a species. We're still being led by the best educated amongst us, and in a sense, the most decent amongst us. That's the liberal intellectual class on the east and west coast of America, for instance, and the people inhabiting, you know, dinner parties in Geneva and Tel Aviv and Rome and London and so on. But that class of human being are the ones who have lost touch with the pulse of humanity or of truth, because they're the beneficiaries of the status quo. They're the ones who get the breadcrumbs off the table of the elites. And that's part of the complex that we're caught up in right now. And that's why in 2021, the minute this bullshit lockdown thing was lifted, I fled to Middle America to throw myself in to Middle America and to touch the pulse of Middle America, because those are the only people I trust. Guns and Bibles. I'm not a Christian. I don't wield a Bible. You know, I have my faith in my relationship with the Master Jesus, but I'm not a Bible-wielding Christian by a long shot, and I don't walk around with a gun either. I happen to like them. But the point I'm making is that I wanted to connect to Middle America, because Middle America is the last bastion of the Middle Earther. The standing army of 200 million guns in Middle America is the last standing army protecting humanity from the clash of Gog and Magog. You know, this is end of days stuff. It's playing out right now. And by the grace of God, you know, humanity is going to prevail. I believe it is. I believe it will. But we've got to stop being led into bad dreaming, bad ideas, and believing in those ideas because they're put on TikTok or on CNN or BBC. Because we are the ones who are manifesting the outcome by believing the bullshit that's being fed to us. That's the Hegelian dialectic. And it's insane. It's reached a fulmination point where it cannot be more serious. The First Nation peoples all around the world know that. That's why they're all standing up now. You know, there's going to be some very interesting events taking place between now and 2028, put it that way. Big, huge, seismic events that are going to change, break the backbone of the status quo and reset this civilizational so-called matrix altogether.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And you're an unbelievable breakdown of history and how basically, you know, the Russians were basically compromised. And a lot of that was from the you know, the Khazarian Jews in New York, which basically funded all that.
Well, be careful, Gary, Michael. You know what's going to happen, right? The next year, going to be targeted by the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, will go after you and me, as I believe they've already started doing, because that's what those crypto-Jewish elements do. They simply target good people who are trying to surface through this subterranean morass of bullshit and deception. And the minute we try to patchwork real history together or the truth of things and speak about the truth, they pull out their usual nonsense. But that was a game we all know was set into play a long time ago. The Kalergi plan perfectly elucidates that for anyone who's really interested in the subject. But look, I've sat down with enough military and intelligence high brass. I've sat down with enough kings and sultans. I've sat down with enough presidents and prime ministers in the last 25 years to know that there's a lot of really good leadership in the world, one way or the other, that's closing ranks. And my sense of outcome is actually very high. I've got a very, very good sense of the outcome of everything. I'm, as a humanitarian, my concern is only about the fallout that is going to be happening and the collateral damage that is likely to happen to a lot of ignorant people and the degree to which we may be able to mitigate that collateral damage. So that's my position.
Yeah, collapsing of different you know, segments of society, that has to happen. But you're right, collateral damage of those that had no clue what's going on and are basically tapped in and tied into that system that's basically not serving us, is basically destroying us. But at some point, because we're revealing this information, it helps it collapse. So yeah, we'll get pushback, you know, where we get pushback, but just like it. There's a guy that was revealing about the COVID vaccination a couple years ago. He was a British guy that works in, you know, people that basically in the morgues and so forth. And he was talking about all these problems that were happening. And I tried to get him on my show, and I guess his family basically, you know, shut him down, so he didn't come on my show. But now he's back out again.
Good.
So a lot of people are basically seeing that we are at a precipice. We either like stand up together and start to inform and push back on this evil, or otherwise we're going to be taken out, all of us.
Yeah, you know? but there's two things. So the push me pull me game is always factored into the plan by, you know, the so-called elites and the so-called.
Yeah, good point.
The push me pull me is always factored in. That doesn't actually make much difference. The difference comes from consciousness in action. And this is the piece I've been screaming about for years, and I'm going to continue screaming about it. There is a huge difference between consciousness and consciousness in action. Consciousness exists everywhere, but our inability to actually strike out and seize the truth and then go on the front foot and enact, embody, and manifest in our lives in real time on the fucking high street, that's what matters. And that comes down to things like the degree to which we take the knee and pay coin to Caesar. And people do that because of the fight, flight, survival reflex. We are all suffering from civilizational post-traumatic stress disorder. So we have this monumental trauma patterning in our psychocultural zeitgeist. And that trauma patterning means that we are all fundamentally afraid, absolutely terrified of the status quo, which is why we drive on the roads, looking back in the rearview mirror nervously, hoping to God that that's not a policeman behind us. You know, it's we're terrified of the apparatus which has been construed to apparently protect and serve us. It doesn't protect and serve us. It penalizes us. It butchers us. It parasites off our life force, and it puts us in prison, and ultimately it poisons us with a cancer. So that's what the status quo, aka government, aka the Roman Catholic Church, aka the status quo does for living sons and daughters of God. It butchers us, it bullies us, it penalizes us, it poisons us. So that said, isn't it time to withdraw our attention, our life force, our plasma, the prana, the kundalini that actually manifests reality? Isn't it time for us to withdraw attention from the satanic totems and symbols and spells and bonds that are put before us and actually purpose our attention, our life force toward building a life worth living and anchoring the kingdom of heaven on earth and stepping away from Sodom and Gomorrah and going and putting spades in the dirt and planting trees and catching rainwater and fuck the status quo and the municipal and federal statutory bullshit. Learn law, people. Learn sovereignty. Go on the front foot. Pick up a very big stick. Biggest stick you can pick up is your intelligence. There is no law, lawful law, anywhere on the face of the earth that can possibly prevent a human being from catching rainwater or planting a vegetable garden. You only think that law exists. It's a code. A code is not a law. It is a regulation. Regulation is not a law. It's a policy. Policy is not a law. You see, we've got it all wrong, and this fight, flight, survival reflex that is keeping most of us going and keeping us bonded into wage slavery, that's the issue here. And that's going to ultimately give us all cancers and drop us dead. So we need to withdraw attention and withdraw coin.
Now, I know you're doing a lot of work with, you know, helping to clean the human body and so forth. You've turned me on to a lot of different products that have definitely helped me and have helped a lot of other people. Now, I know you go to, is it Romania that you go to and you get deeper insights?
I've got a company out there and partners out there, military partners and science right. partners, and I'm deeply involved in incubating technologies, and I'm very involved in microbiology, mostly in the last year, as I told my own very gracious and intelligent followers. Up until about a year ago, I was talking about life pod technologies that we were slowly developing, and then these microbiology breakthrough science came to my attention through our military contacts, and I was pulled in a year ago to look at that and the patterns there. And I stopped the life pod frequency technology incubation because I could only afford to do one or the other. And so I put that on ice and started to put my focus onto the microbiology, because the three patents that I'm now more or less controlling and protecting on behalf of a brilliant science group is a very special protein extraction technology that knows how to grow, manufacture essentially the antigens or antibodies to every disease known to man within 43 days, and to then bring that de facto cure to market. So you're not allowed to say cure. That's the real C word in our status quo. But the fact of the matter is we can grow antigens/antibodies to any so-called disease within 43 days. Now, good military brass now in the United States know that because we've been engaging, and good folks on the other side of the Atlantic, five-star, know that as well. And we've got certain governments as well involved at this time looking in. I'm not allowed to say any more than that. I'm just really policing my words very closely here, Michael. Bottom line is the two gravest existential threats facing the human immune system individually and collectively today are two phenomena called spike protein replication, okay, which is a bit of a catch-all term, because everything's a protein and a lot of them have got spiky things. But the so-called spike protein replication is a phenomenon that is occurring. And the weaponized E. coli is the other problem. So the weaponized E. coli is really responsible for the massively accelerating UTIs that are happening in women all around the world and causing UTIs and infertility resultantly. And the so-called spike protein replication is what is creating an incremental and then exponential breakdown in the immune system of people all around the world. So that's explaining why 16, 17-year-old footballers are dropping dead on football fields from myocarditis. It's because whoever you are, whatever your demographic is, whatever your genetic predisposition is, the spike and E. coli are going to be looking and scanning your body, so to speak, looking for the weak link in the chain. And as you're replicating these wicked phenomena or unfriendly phenomena in the gut, as they are replicating and exacerbating, they're constantly scanning your immune system and looking for the weak link, and they will find it eventually. And that's what's bringing about the catastrophic failure. That's why we're being told that the morbidities and fatalities of many thousands of percent increased in the last 36 months. And by best accounts, it's likely to get worse. So the two things that needed to be addressed as far as we were concerned was spike protein replication and weaponized E. coli. And we've got the microbial formulas for both of those, and that's landed in the U.S. finally by the grace of the living God in the last week. And so thrilled about that. So I'm now trying to get that out as widely and broadly as possible. That's a conversation I want to take up with you.
Oh, very good, very good. Yeah, I look forward to that. So yeah, I mean, that's definitely one of the problems. And consciousness, and we are in survival mode because we have this bioweapon attack. It's not going to stop until we basically take out these evil ones.
Yeah.
So it's a big process that we're going through.
Yeah.
Now, other things that are going on in Romania. So it sounds like you're in a very, very cool position where you're like dealing with white hats on a different level. And I know you talk to people and you've seen craft and all that kind of stuff. You want to go into that area a little bit?
I'm happy to. I'm really not looking to paint myself as an enigma, because I genuinely don't regard myself as an enigma. I just regard myself as a busybody and somebody who will not stop asking questions and has the resources to be able to get on planes and keep moving, keep pushing in, keep leaning in. And I'm blessed in that, Michael, and that's all I'm doing. And I've got the wind beneath my wings and the grace of God by best accounts. So I keep pushing those boundaries because I can. I honestly think I'm doing what any human being would do if they were resourced sufficiently and not encumbered with family and more mundane responsibilities, because we are all interested in the truth. We all would love to be able to step away from wage slavery, jump on airplanes, go and meet fascinating people, and continuously push the boundaries and the envelope. I find myself in that a remarkable position, and I'm built for the journey. Many years ago, I won't say I sacrificed, but I certainly knew that I had to make a decision to forego family in the normal sense, at least for a long time, whilst this mission was underway. And all I can say is that I do get to meet extraordinary people, and I have had extraordinary engagements, and some of them even going back as long as to about 2005 have been fascinating and very, very interesting. In 2005, I was involved in certain. They weren't campaigns because they were not public. They were behind the curtains, so there would be more missions than campaigns. And I was involved with a couple, which I actually disclosed at this retreat with the Hopi. For the first time, I spoke about a couple of these missions that I was involved in and drafted into almost 20 years ago. And I feel confident now about speaking about them. And I've got all the files and the photographs and the forensic trails and all that stuff. I'm not worried about, you know, at some point being dragged into a courtroom and being forced to prove things. It's the easiest thing in the world for me. But I'm not trying to be enigmatic, but I have had those engagements. And I did at a governmental level also get drafted in to help with the observation and analysis in both hybrid alien phenomena and transcendental technology in that arena. So, and that's weird stuff. So what I used to do, or what Humanitad did on a number of occasions, my foundation, which I just folded after 20 years, since 1999, 24 years. I just folded this last year because I don't need to have any tethering to the Crown of England any longer. It's not necessary. I don't use the foundation anymore. I'm out there now more publicly broadcasting, and I transitioned my life from backroom diplomacy and creating initiatives and campaigns and then trying to, you know, hack into the system from an NGO perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do that anymore. But I can tell you, you know, some of the work that we were drafted into was off-world. It was weird. I've not been on a spacecraft. I've not been taken, to the best of my knowledge. I've not been drafted onto spacecraft and taken off-world. But I have met with heads of state and parliamentarians, wealthy, elite-type people, or privileged people in positions of power, who have absolutely confided to me in that capacity of running the Humanitad Foundation and doing the diplomatic work that I was doing. They've confided extraordinary things to me in the past. And so I've had this kind of pastiche built up, this patchwork built up over the years of anecdotes and stories and the telling of powerful, wealthy, privileged people, up to and including Illuminati families connected to royalty and Illuminati, who are turncoats, individuals who are scions of very venerable but dark bloodlines. And, well, I say venerable as in on the surface, they're famous family names that are rulers and inherit, you know, the Commonwealth. But they are not. They are linked to the black nobility and to dark arts, black magic, and blood ritualism, and so on and so forth. So on a number of occasions, I've met with the sons and daughters or grandsons and granddaughters of these immensely powerful clans who have confided in me and told me stories that they've witnessed connected to the ritual magic and blood rites. And horrible stuff, absolutely bloody awful stuff, which if I were to ever write a book, would make a sci-fi horror book that people probably wouldn't believe. Now, when I was hearing certain stories 20 years ago, of course I didn't believe them. I just thought this is a very indolent, rich individual taking me into their confidence because they know that I know Prince so-and-so and Princess so-and-so. And they were telling me these stories because they were probably jacked up on coke or drunk or just wanting to confide. So I started to become a kind of figure, as almost like a confessor priest to some of these figures, because I don't take a position. I don't judge or condemn anyone. I listen. I've got a good brain. I'm able to assimilate and then to some extent understand what's being said and then possibly give remedy or some kind of, you know, some kind of remedy in the way that I then communicate. And that's led to me being recommended by a number of these clans, one to another, when there are turncoats or whistleblowers. They are wanting to have a conversation. That's how I learned about the digital twins being manufactured in the IBM basement of every human being. I've spoken about this on a number of media drops, but it was one of the key figures, bosses, of that world from Silicon Valley, who came to see me having a nervous breakdown at the time, having a change of heart, a change of conscience, and wanted to confide in someone who could hear them fully and embrace the horror of what they were saying. This was about 8-9 years ago. And in this particular case, that woman in question, who was a top-tier blue chip IT captain of industry type level individual, came to London to sit me down and tell me that IBM were building digital twins of every human in the basement. This is kind of NSA, Vatican kind of conspiracy stuff. What is a digital twin? Well, digital twin at that time, God knows what it is today, Michael, given AI supercomputation, it must be full holographic, you know, clone stuff. But in those days, it was the NSA computers and the supercomputers were already doing data retrieval, data analysis, metadata surveillance of everything that moves, everything with a pulse, the military satellites, every bit of data gathering from every bus terminal, every television set, every refrigerator was all involved in data retrieval. Mm-hmm. And that data is going back into central servers, which are being calibrated and then orchestrated through AI algorithms, which are essentially building Michael Jacob, the man, the appetite, the past, the present, the future, everything he's ever thought about, dreamt about, everyone he's ever, you know, slept with, you know, what he eats, where he wants to travel to, what his dreams are, what his phobias are, everything is being gathered, data gathered, and then composited through this kind of central conduit to create a digital Michael Jayco in the basement. And that digital twin is ultimately likely to be released and become the de facto de jure Michael Jayco, who is a treasury bonded digitized creature. You, the flesh and bones, will be reduced to sitting in an armchair in a very tightly controlled apartment complex in a smart city where you will not be able to move without being penalized or drugged or tasered. So, you know, it goes into sci-fi horror territory without any question of doubt. Just look around you. It's already happening. Mm-hmm. So the smart city is not a joke. It was a joke 5 years ago. It's now a reality. The fact that, you know, cars can lock you in and drive you to a police station now. Your car can literally lock you out of the command if the algorithms tell it to. You know, that's going to be every vehicle on the road in 5 years' time, 7 years' time, by statutory compliance. And if you are not in full alignment, if your social credits or your cultural credits or whatever they come up with don't comport or conform to the status quo's determination of how you need to behave, then everything gets shut down. So we're in that fray already. It's already started. That digitized meta kind of false light matrix is now becoming a real-time matrix that is looking to lock and load and fully weaponize our homes, our suburbs, our streets, our cities, and everything in point of fact. Now, the only thing that they cannot, if you step out of the jurisdiction, for instance, the U.S. corporation, the government, and you untether yourself today from your treasury bond, for instance, and your passport and all the nonsense connected to the registrations and the securitizations of your 1,001 signatures that you've signed on all those bits of paper in municipal and federal offices and forms over the last 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, you know, you have to fully disidentify and redact, rescind, retract, revoke. Those are the four R's I'm now telling people. Redact, rescind, retract, revoke. Learn those four words. You can do it. You can become a state national. You can have no connection to the jurisdiction, the false light jurisdiction of the corporation government. You can become a free human. And we see now exponentially millions, and I mean millions, of Americans are becoming state nationals. Right now, it's happening. It's like a virus that's taken off. It's a very good virus. And I do believe that that is ultimately going to be the thing that bifurcates into two forms of reality that we can choose from. And ultimately, humans can decide, yes, I want to live in Sodom and Gomorrah. I want to live in a smart city. I want to live in a AI supercomputer controlled reality matrix, which will take care of me, wipe my bum, and put me to sleep at night, and keep me transfixed into my appetites and into a low kind of frequency survival cycle, rinse cycle, which many people will choose because it's an easy option. A lot of people choose that now. A lot of reoffenders in prisons are there because they prefer the food in a prison than what they had to scratch for on the streets. So it's a similar complex we're talking about. But the other scenario that we get to choose is to leave Sodom and Gomorrah, to untether ourselves and become living sons and daughters of God, so to speak, living men and women of the living soil, where we are absolutely permitted to go into the countryside and into the mountains, the forest, the, you know, the shorelines, the lakes, and build homes and build communities that have no connection to the Saturnian central command. So we will have that choice because the diabolical status quo, when it really comes down to the crunch, has no say in the matter. It always comes down to you and I. Just like COVID and masking mandates and PCR testing mandates and lockdown mandates and all that shit show that we all lived through was an orchestration. But we know, Michael, you and I know, and everyone watching this knows that we foundationally had the choice to say, no, not going there, not doing it. fine. If you walked on the streets, you may be picked up by the police. Then you have to deal with stupid, belligerent police and their complete lack of knowledge about real law. But that notwithstanding, no one had to get a vaccination and no one had to get a PCR test and no one had to comply. That's the point. But we were led to believe that we had to. And so many of us fell victim to that belief system. And that ultimately is what will kill a great many people unless they resurrect themselves now whilst they still can.
Yeah. So do you believe that with this next disease X, however they're going to release it, I think it's going to get out there. Do you think we're going to get the same situation again, times 10? Because people
that's
were...
That's the intention. What we've heard, Michael, is that this next pathogenic strain is likely to be so virulent that people's brains will melt out of their nostrils in the streets and drop dead like zombies, which was in what we were led to believe was happening 4 years ago. Of course, that was the scare tactic. The theater, the theatrical production was a predictive programming scenario in order to normalize the possibility of the outcome. And that's essentially what has now manifested, is that enough stupid humans abnegated and surrendered their dignity, their psionic intelligence, and their conscience altogether, abnegated, rolled over, allowed themselves to be sodomized by the parent corporation into being a fearful, reflexive human being, not standing in truth or in light. And so many of us did that, that we created the thrall, we created the false light matrix that now invites that to actually manifest. This is called effect. You get cause and you get effect. Enough stupid humans allowed that to manifest, it will necessarily have an effect. This is the effect we're now going to have to live through, alas. And it's okay for people like me and yourself and Trace and others who can see the stuff around corners because we've spent our lives being irreverent and seeking the truth and not pegged to wage slavery. But a lot of people, unfortunately, have not had that benediction and did get caught up in the rinse cycle of the deception. So how's it likely to play out? What we're informed is that this new pathogenic strain is intended to be a catastrophic failure of the immune system and within hours and days of people dropping dead. And if that does happen, of course, as part of a diaspora event after the swimming Olympics and in 150 countries, 3 weeks later, whatever, they release electromagnetic frequencies into the Skynet that catalyze that pathogenic strain into manifestation into the gut of all of those humans in different countries. Bada boom, you're going to see them fall in the streets. You're going to then see the dragnet happen of central command and control with the World Health Organization and the satanic elites doing what they've intended for the last few years, which is to then use that real-time scenario, not as a pretext, but to implement full martial privilege and martial law, whereupon the United Nations proves what it was always intended to do, which was to create a lockstep for all nations, faiths, and cultures into one central command and control, governed by a handful of elites who were always pulling the strings behind China and the CCP, behind NATO countries. The only country that they cannot pull strings from behind is Russia. Why? That would be because one Vladimir Putin paid back his debt to the IMF and told the crypto Jewish elements that used to govern the destiny of Russia from Tel Aviv. He excised them. Boris Berezovsky, who I knew, who was the handler, a guy who was the kingmaker behind Putin years ago. That, as I've mentioned before, Putin chopped Berezovsky's hand off and the other handlers. These are the kind of Israeli Russian connection, which was going back to the Bolshevik revolution and how the Commonwealth of Russia was collapsed 100 years ago and then fell into, actually it all fell at the end of the Berlin Wall when the Soviet Union collapsed. Actually, the Commonwealth of Russia, the extant Commonwealth of Russia, collapsed into a suitcase, into one bond in a suitcase held by Ambassador Lee Wanter. God bless him. I don't know if he's still alive. Very courageous, man who was incarcerated by the Clintons for some years, because Lee Wanter was the economic hitman or kind of Fed agent who was in Moscow on the day when the shit show came down, the end of the Cold War, and when the Commonwealth of Russia was then collapsed into one bond. That bond was put into a suitcase and manacled, handcuffed to Ambassador Lee Wanter's hand, and he was supposed to fly back to his comptrollers in Washington and hand the collapsed Russian ruble, the value of the collapsed Russian ruble, inordinate amount of wealth. I can't remember how many. It was either $7 or $17 trillion. I can't remember. I used to know the figures 15 years ago. I was really on this because I was involved in that, trying to clean that mess up. But that Russian ruble Commonwealth value in one bond, one note in that suitcase that was manacled or handcuffed to Ambassador Lee Wanter, he was supposed to fly back to the U.S. and hand it over to his comptrollers. He didn't. He went, I think he went to the Middle East and tried to broker a peace deal using the value of that bond to try and end the Great Deception. Reagan was a good guy behind that scene at that time, but the Bush clan were too powerful. The Bush Clinton cabal were too powerful. Lee Wanter ended up being crossed over, turned over, ended up in prison for many years. He did get out eventually, but the Ameritrust bond, which was the name of that bond, Ameritrust Inc., was Lee Wanter's intention to get that money back to the people of Russia and the people of Middle America, who had both been fleeced through taxes in order to conflate that nightmare of the whole Soviet Union. So it's a big story. It's one that has got huge ramifications for history as we are going to be forced to rewrite history and bring it back into alignment. I've known about that for many, many years, almost 20 years. I was involved many years ago in trying to mop that shit up. At some point, I'll happily speak at great length about how I was involved with top economists and trying to broker the truth as long ago as 2006, 2007, leading up to the 2008 financial crisis, actually, because what we were trying to do at that time was prevent the catastrophic fail that came in 2008 and was actually unavoidable. But the collapse of the Russian ruble back in the 80s and the whole orchestrated theater of the Berlin Wall and the Gorbachev glasnost bullshit, all of that was part of this this theater. And the world still doesn't know about it because we just kept hungry, we kept desperate, we kept fighting one another.
So we see Russia now basically is fighting the Nazis again. They're doing a very good job of it, and they're building up their military industrial complex significantly. I think they may even see that they might have to fight NATO as a whole.
Michael, NATO doesn't have a force. Sorry to interrupt you, brother. No, it doesn't have a force. It's a bankrupt organization. It's got no money. Got no fucking bullet. So good luck. All it's got is the utility of stupid humans who believe that it's got something. And so we are continuing the show. That's the point I'm trying to make. It is the liberal, intellectual, good human in middle France, middle Germany, middle Scandinavia, middle America, middle England that is propping up a satanic status quo. NATO is defunct. Russia has the more power in one little finger than the whole of the NATO alliance. And, you know, Russia, don't forget, Michael, can jam every bit of apparatus and infrastructure in the military machine of NATO. It's proven that in the past. And forget about Russia being able to frequency jam all the infrastructure of the alliance military. It is also off-world intelligences, benevolent, benign off-world intelligences that are also looking in and able to stymie any real devious plans. That's why there's no abductions taking place any longer. They're all over. You know, the world is changing. The world is turning into a good place. The new earth horizon, so to speak, is emerging. There's no question about that. But our incapacity to see it collectively is still the myopia that is causing the dystopia.
Yeah, it's pretty much out of control. And someone just mentioned like a kabuki theater definitely happening right now. But do you see, you know, Americans rising up against this Nazi regime that basically has taken over America?
It's hard to know. I mean, yes, of course, I see that happening. It's the trigger fingers are twitching. Put it that way. I've just driven through a couple of states in the last 48 hours, you know. I've had enough conversations with farmers, farmers and veterans and indigenous elders in the last few days alone. And then before that, for a few days at the Conscious Life Expo, I did speak to hundreds of people and get a kind of pulse. So yeah, there is that. But there's other events that are likely to derail those plans. And again, there are events that are planned and construed by the Saturnian status quo. And there are other events which are benignly inspired that happen because there are forces at work in the field that change the destiny and change the trajectory of the outcome through the beneficence of God Almighty. And we're kind of caught between the two. I can tell you, driving through the whole of Arizona yesterday and the day before for 2 days nonstop, what struck me, two things I want to speak to, Michael, that horrified me. One was that the skies, for 2 days of driving, I drove for about 20 hours in the daytime, were filled with barium and strontium and aluminum rainbows.
Mm.
Every time I looked up, I could see a rainbow, two rainbows, three rainbows, but they weren't rainbows in the idyllic sense. They were clusters and confluences of rainbow spectrum. So this is the weaponized biospheres in America, the chemtrailing, the nanoparticulates that have been forced through statutory compliance into the jet grade fuel, for instance, for the last 30, 40, 50 years, containing chemical elements and compounds that didn't belong there, didn't do anything to create a fuel efficiency, but were put in nonetheless as part of this infrastructure deployment. So to scatter trillions to the power of trillions to the power of trillions of metal particulates, heavy metal particulates and strontium and barium and all sorts into the atmosphere was there to do what? To fully lock, load, and weaponize the stratosphere, the atmosphere, and allow for the raining down. A very large dog here, you'll have to excuse me, kissing me. But that stuff raining down onto us, obviously embedding into us, but more recently remains airborne. Many of these particulates remain airborne. They were designed to never come down and settle on Earth and contaminate living systems or the soil or the water. So you've got airborne particulates that are creating these barium and strontium rainbows. Horrific. And literally, it's all we could see, just seeing these rainbows, these prisms happening in the atmosphere, driving for 20 hours. And I urge anyone, especially in middle Europe and middle America, look to the skies on sunny days. Just spend time. We're so stuck in wage slavery now that we rarely look up at the skies anymore, at day or nighttime. It's an absolute travesty that we don't do that any longer as a species. But I do. And that was one thing that horrified me. The other thing that horrified me, driving across Arizona and California yesterday and the day before, was I didn't see, on one occasion, I saw a cow. I think we saw three cattle on one occasion. And for two solid days, 20 hours of driving through America, I couldn't see a chicken. I couldn't see a duck. I couldn't see a dog or a cat or a rooster or a sheep or a goat or a horse or a cow. Nothing. Only one time did we see three little cows in a little pasture. And that horrified me. It was chilling. It was chilling in the blood to realize that we've turned now into a monoculture where all these animals are sequestered in these vast abattoir factories where they doubtless never get to even touch the soil or see the sunlight and are just butchered for their flesh and their blood. It was horrifying. And I'm thinking to myself, farmers of Middle America, what happened? What happened to you? Where did you go? Now, I hope that we see in America what we're seeing in Belgium and France and Italy and countries in Europe where millions of farmers are rising up with their combine harvesters and their tractors and they're going in and destroying infrastructure. They are spitting the shit back at the parliament buildings and they're refusing to comply with the World Food Program and the World Trade Organization and the United Nations Saturnian agenda of controlling all the world's food supply. It's got to be put back into the hands of farmers and human beings and emphasis Americans need to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah, get back, stake their claim in the land. No one's living on the land anymore, just a handful of farmers, but no one's living on the land. There's millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of square hectares, and they're not being used. They're not being lived upon. They're not being farmed. What's going on? Come on, people. Enough. Get back to the land.
Absolutely. All right, Sasha. It's been amazing. You're always, like I said before the show, you never disappoint. Boy, it's like stir the pot. I love it. So how can people reach you? We have all your links in the description box already. So anyone's watching, www.sashastone.com. What else would you like to share with us as far as
Mike, I'd just like to speak with you briefly and Tracy after this, because I really need to speak to you about the spike in the E. coli stuff. That's the only thing I care about right now, is redeeming people and their immune systems from this satanic exponential thrust against our health and immunity. That's got to end, because that's where we're most vulnerable, and that's where people are dying, people getting sick. Everyone is getting sick, and it has to end. We can address it now.
Outstanding. Thanks a lot, Sasha.
All right,
brother. And hope you guys enjoyed it, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you so much for listening to Unleashing Intuition Secrets, the podcast. Until next time, stay in the love vibration as you continue your journey to become the master of your reality.